May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. May those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart. Anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. Today's text comes from verse 18 of Matthew's story. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. Once upon a time, there was a couple who had known each other as fellow church members for a number of years. And somewhere along the line, love blossomed and grew between the two of them. The whole church rejoiced when they announced their engagement and wedding plans. A couple of years later, the church once again rejoiced when this couple announced that they were pregnant. They had been older when they married and had difficulty conceiving. But finally, after fertility treatments, they were told that they could expect not just a child, but children. For she was expecting twins. This was a double joy. For the doctor had told them that because of their age, this was probably their only chance to have children of their own. Sadly, the babies were born weeks premature. And despite the best efforts of the medical community, they lived only a few hours, just long enough for the parents to hold them and to bestow upon them the names that they had chosen from the very beginning. Abraham Joseph and Sarah Mary, names that according to their faith expressed the fulfillment of God's promise in their lives. And so it happened that when this couple should have been planning a baptism for their children, they were talking with the minister about a funeral. Together, the three of them planned the service. And when the question of music came up, the parents asked if someone could play a song. What a wonderful world. Now, under the circumstances, the request struck the minister as rather odd, but of course, the minister said yes. The service was emotional for everyone. As the pastor pronounced a benediction, one could see grief etched on the face of all the congregants. And then, as had been previously planned, someone pushed a button on a CD player, and from the speakers of the church there floated the gravelly voice of Louis Armstrong singing, "What a Wonderful World." Now, what happened next, no one expected. The husband rose, stood in front of his wife, and opened his arms, inviting her to dance. The wife stood and drew herself close to him, and in proper ballroom form, they danced. The two of them danced a dance of life clear across the chancel of the church that they knew. And the church knew that beyond a doubt that when suffering comes, the kingdom of heaven is near. For the couple knew that life is something ambiguous, filled with contradictions and mystery. They knew that sometimes things happen that no one can explain. Yet they also knew that nothing, not the heartache or the grief of losing a child, nor any loss, could ever separate them nor their children from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In our gospel lesson from Matthew, there is one character that you will never find in a Christmas pageant. You will find Mary and Joseph and the child. You will find angels and shepherds and wise men and cows and even a camel or two. But you'll never find Herod, the ruler who was deceived by the three wise men. Herod's reputation was well known in the ancient world. He was sadistic and treacherous, vengeful and duplicitous, insecure and superstitious. He had 9 wives, and he had one of them executed. He had several children. 3 of his sons were executed because he saw them as a threat to his throne. The fact that he ordered the slaughter of all children under the age of 2 in and around Bethlehem was totally within character, even though there is no historical evidence to support the claim that this slaughter of the innocent actually happened. We know that oftentimes when there is an atrocity or a genocide, there is little or no evidence left behind by the perpetrators. Now, into the birth of the world Savior, the gospel writer in Matthew inserted this horrific tale. Why? Why did Matthew insert such an event that appears in none of the other Gospels? There are a couple different reasons, a couple different answers. But for this morning's purpose, I present this hypothesis to you. Matthew included the slaughter of the innocent to remind us of the kind of world in which we live. You see, God did not become incarnate in the son of Mary and Joseph to bring to us a midwinter festival of peace and contentment. No, God came into this world where families wander homeless and corrupt tyrants rule by murder, deceit, and intimidation. God broke into this world because this world needs a savior. For it cannot save itself. In Luke's gospel, in one of the parables that Jesus told in response to a question of who is my neighbor, Jesus told the parable of what we refer to as the Good Samaritan. And the point of the parable is very simple. Your neighbor is anyone who is in need. There are many in this world for whom their main worry this past Christmas season was not whether or not they got everything that they wanted for Christmas, but rather their lives are tainted by suffering and want. Consider the Syrian Christians who have come from some of the world's oldest congregations, as well as other refugees from that civil war-torn country that have swelled the populations of the countries of Europe. Consider the refugees that have flooded into Canada and the United States. Consider whether this past Christmas they wondered if they will ever again be able to sing the hymns of Christmas in their homeland. And what about the homeless in our own land, the tent cities that pop up under bridges in major cities, the people that live along the Illinois River in our own community, and the homeless in various other communities around us. And then we must not forget those who grieve the loss of loved ones, those who have empty places at their Christmas table this year, or unwrapped gifts that will never be opened. It is a wonderful world, Louis Armstrong sang, but it is also a very broken world. In the Gospel of John, in the 3rd chapter, the Gospel writer said that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. But there is an additional verse to that. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world may find life through him, might be saved through him. And we who take Jesus seriously, we who call ourselves disciples, are, the Apostle Paul said, the very body of Christ here on earth. It is our responsibility to help heal the brokenness of this world, not someone else's. We have a work to do by living into our baptism vows, symbolized by the baptism font that's below the pulpit. The font that reminds us that we are children of God, claimed by God, not because of what we have done, but because of whom we belong to. God has a claim upon our lives and a call to each and every one of us. And that call is that we are to use the spiritual gifts that God has bestowed upon us, as well as the material resources that God has entrusted to our care for merely a lifetime, to help build God's kingdom here on earth. The slaughter of the innocent and the tears of Rachel weeping for her children reminds us that we live in the midst of a broken world, and that in the midst of brokenness, we are to be the light of hope, joy, peace, and love, as our Advent candles remind us. The Church of Jesus Christ is the best hope for a broken world. We have a work to do. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? I am going to offer various petitions and give a moment of silence for you to pray in those moments. We pray for the church with Mary. Help us to treasure and ponder the gift that has been given to us, a gift of good news and great joy for all, the gift of Jesus Christ, our light. We pray for the world, for all of its brokenness. We pray for the prophets and the promise of your peace for all nations, and your justice for all people. We pray for the various communities from which we have come. With the shepherds, help us to keep watch over those entrusted to our care and all who need protection this night. We pray for loved ones. With the angels, help us to offer signs of hope and comfort and joy, and for all who live in fear. Our Lord Jesus Christ, hope of the world, help us to bear witness to your light so that all may believe and have life in you. We ask these things with joy, O God, confident in the knowledge of your goodness. And we ask these things with hope, knowing that our Redeemer is here among us. For to us a Savior is born, the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus Christ, in whose holy name we offer this and the prayers of our hearts. Amen.